Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Brad, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brad.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a flight of stairs. At this time, we ask you to please silence your phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in a conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing steps 8 and 9. And I'd like y'all to please welcome our panel. We have Brenda and Scott. All right. And so the first readings is on page 76. And now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Brenda, and I am an alcoholic.
Amen.
And that's the last time I'll introduce myself, because we all know after that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when I got to step 8, it was one of those things that I didn't look at on the wall and say, oh, boy, I can't wait to get to that one. Because I had really done a lot of damage to a lot of people without meaning to, without intending to. And I will tell you, I'm working on my third, fourth step. With each one, I find out more about myself. But I know this is a program of action, and I had to do this because that guilt and remorse that I felt, especially to family members, if I had held back and not taken the names that I figured out on my fourth step and carried them to the eighth step, the amends, if I didn't do that, that guilt and remorse would stay with me. And I would drink, and I didn't want to. I came in here because I was desperate. And that last part about willing to go to any lengths, well, I said I was. But as I got into it, it was like, well, maybe, you know. This is not something that I embraced wholeheartedly. I drug my feet because who wants to go to somebody and say, okay, I messed up, and I will back up before I go any further. I have not made a single amends without talking to my sponsor about it. I've, my initial reaction when I got in here, because I was so excited because there was a solution and y'all were going to help me stop drinking, so I've got to go out and tell everybody I'm in this program and I'm so sorry for all the mess I did. That was what I wanted to do, but the sponsor, thank God for good sponsorship, effective sponsorship, as we like to say. So not a single amends did I make without talking with my sponsor about it. She saved me from groveling, which is what I wanted to do, because I felt that guilty and that remorseful. But this is a program of action, and without that list and deciding who I could go to right away, et cetera, it's so important because I know how I am. I carry things inside. I resent you don't know about it, but I carry guilt and remorse around too. And if I don't let that go, it's sort of like we read about the resentments or the number one offender. Well, if I don't get that guilt and remorse out, it's something else that stands between me and the sunlight of the Spirit. And I'm dead in the water because I've got to clean house, and the only way to do that is act on it, program of action. And again, was I really excited about it? No, because I did some pretty awful things, and having to admit it to someone, but without doing that eighth step, I would be in big trouble. And names have been added to that as I've gone along with each time I work the fourth step because, and I think it's because of my growth in the program. I suddenly realized that thing I didn't think was all that big a deal probably really hurt that person pretty badly. And if that is in my mind, I need to get it straight. Maybe I go to them and they say, I never thought about that. That's not the point. This is not for them. This is for me to get my side of the street clean so I can sleep at night and not take a drink. That's it for me.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And I can hear myself, and I sound really loud. I was just caught up in what Brenda was saying. I got a couple things. My sponsor told me to get out the way first. My sobriety date is July 10th, 06. My home group is Principal's Group at Chesapeake. We meet at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays at Harvest Assembly of God, and that is on the corner of Greenbrier and Kempsville Road. Plus, I got another home group on Sundays because of a lot of intergroup commitments on Tuesday nights. We started another group on Sunday on Bainbridge Boulevard at Agape Ministries. We're a big book study, and we read the book, and that's all we do. We read the book. I belong to when I got sober, my sponsor had started. I was in the pre-planning stages of this group in Norfolk called Many a Strange Camel. And, we all went to St. Tim's at first, and then we were going to move. The guys, the men's group, my sponsor was a big fan of a men's group, and we were going to move over to Many a Strange Camel, and they got that group started without me. Imagine that. Probably because I was incarcerated. When I come out to a wonderful big book study men's group, and I belong to that for a very long time. I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for the steps that Alcoholics Anonymous provided me. I wasn't too thrilled with some of them. You know, the eighth step, rather easy. I was willing. That was about it with that one. You know, my sponsor told me, let's get to step eight and eight only, not think about nine. But in the book, it says eight and nine at the same time. That kind of confused me a little bit. But I don't know how to talk step eight without step nine. I was willing, you know. At the end of this paragraph we read, I was willing to go to any lengths of a victory over alcohol. I did not want to drink, you know. I did not want to drink. You know, and I hear a lot of people, and even my guys, our sponsor now, talk about step four, how some big mystical thing, how, you know, you got to put all your stuff out there. I didn't seem to have a problem with that because most of my damage was public knowledge anyway, if you really wanted to find out about it. So it was out there, and to share that with another individual wasn't that bad. But I knew the steps, and I knew I had to get to a ninth step if I wanted to have victory over alcohol. And it scared me, terrified me, because, you know, I did a lot of bad stuff out there, nothing that I'm proud of, nothing, you know. I wasn't the nicest guy out there, and not like Debbie. I knew the people, Brenda, I knew the people I hurt, and I knew what I did to them. You know, and I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I had a motive, and it never was for anybody else but me. And by the time I got to this, they said, for me to let this go, I got to do this stuff. And I was like, shit. You know, and it was a lot of me and God when I did a lot of my amends. And that's what my sponsor told me it was going to be. I prayed before everyone. We went over them, and I did them. You know, still got more to do. You know, the book talks about more will be revealed. I believe Bill wrote that for one reason only. The longer I don't take a drink, the more I start to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I remember, the more amends I gotta make. Kind of goes hand in hand. I'm like, damn, when's this gonna stop? You know, I can be walking down the street and somebody, you know, I'm from here, I grew up in South Norfolk, so, you know, I see a lot of people I've done a lot of damage to on a daily basis, and I'm like, damn, here I go again, you know, and I got to suck it up and explain what's going on in my life today, and they're like, well, we knew something happened, And just keep doing what you're doing, you know, it's for me, you know. I had to get used to crying in public, you want to know the truth. You know, my sponsor told me, man, he said, real men cry. I said, no shit, that's good to know. That's great, man, that's great. Then I must be a real man, you know, because I'm not afraid today like I was back then. We're going to go on. We got a lot of talking to do. And I want to hear Brenda truthfully. I spoke at her meeting last week. She got to hear me a whole lot, so I'm going to listen to her. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
We're going to continue on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings as we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt. We may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on the first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries.
All right, well, I'll start by saying that I should have told you in the beginning, and as I was reminded, my sobriety date's October the 21st, 2011. My home group is Friends of Bill W. Book Study in Suffolk. We meet every Thursday at noon with an As Bill Sees It meeting. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, book study, 12 and 12, big book. Y'all come on out. So with that, the biggest amends, the most amends I had to make was to my family, because I drank at home for the last 10 years. Heavy-duty stuff. Y'all know how to get drunk, so we won't go there. But I remember I was, again, that excitement, that pink cloud, and in going to my son, and we were out there, and I was talking about a higher power. Every other sentence was higher power. And finally, he looked at me, and he said, "If you say that one more time," and good for him, because in the beginning, my son thought we were a cult. Okay. And I just laughed. But like the book says, it was my demonstration of how I behaved on a daily basis. That old thing about actions speak louder than words. Man, my parents used to say that to me all the time, and I didn't like hearing it, but it's true. What I do on a daily basis, how I conduct myself, in every situation, but especially with my family. I had lost the privilege of seeing my grandchildren because they have a really good daddy, my son. Getting back that trust, I had to demonstrate and not do it. You know, the motive behind the motive, I was just trying to do what this program taught me to do without thinking that I was going to get anything back, because we'll read later that, you know, they don't have to forgive us. They don't have to say it's okay. So I just had to do this for me, to demonstrate every day in all my affairs that I'm trying to live the life that my higher power wants me to live. And the real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Wow. That gives me chills, because we get to live this wonderful life by working these steps. And we can't skip them. And they're in order for a reason. I wasn't ready for step 8 when I walked in the door, trust me. And I slowly got here, and with the help of a sponsor, with the willingness, that's a big deal with us, the willingness to work the steps and be totally honest. I always wanted to look good. No matter what, I had to look good. And if I did something that messed up things, it was never my fault. It was because so-and-so didn't do what they were supposed to do, because I'm perfect, you know. So this program knocked me right off that little pedestal that I'd put myself on. And that maximum service to God and mankind, the people around us. So I had to demonstrate through my daily affairs, the way I treat everybody, the gal at the cash register, to the guy on the street, to my son and his wife and my beautiful, beautiful grandchildren. I now have a great-granddaughter. Woo! And I get to participate in her life because of this program. Because if I don't work these steps, if I don't conduct myself the way a good, sober, recovering alcoholic woman should conduct herself, then I lose. So it's pretty cool. All right, that's it.
That's good. My whole life I wandered around drunk, drug addict, stealing, robbing, doing what I had to do. And I thought that's what I grew up like that. All my friends did what I did. That's just how we grew up, I thought. And I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm sitting around the rooms a while, and I still don't think it's going to work. Because I've been coming in since I was 16, and I finally surrendered at 40. So I've been coming in and out a long time. And I finally give up, and I get to sitting with my sponsor, and I'm doing some stuff. But I'm like, you know, man, I really don't know why I'm even alive. You know, all my friends, a lot of them have OD'd. Three of them went in 1 year. The two I grew up with, I've known my whole life. We used to talk about what we're going to do if somebody dies. And damn it, they didn't go and die on me. Then the guy I work with, he dies 6 months later. One cocaine, one heroin, one alcohol. And I'm doing all of it. So I'm just sitting around waiting to die. That's what I'm doing. I got no real reason to exist. But when I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, finally, when I went back to jail multiple times and I give up that way of thinking or whatever, I didn't know what I was doing. But when I come here, I said, what do I do? He says, well, read page 76. And that's where I got my purpose for life. And I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fit myself to be of service to anybody. I want to fit myself to be of service to me. And that's the attitude I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous with, you know. I didn't know I was going to help people. You know, I remember, I'll tell you this real quick. Dave knows, a couple of y'all know my first sponsor, Tony. I got sober in Norfolk. And the first time I gave this a shot, I was working for him and I was, you know, I drank, you know, I got 100 days clean on the street. That's the first time ever in my life I've been sober 100 days and on the street. Usually I was locked up. And I was proud, you know, so I do what every alcoholic does. I celebrate. I took a drink and got drunk as hell, 7-11, 6 o'clock. Then went to hang over drinking some more. And I was working for him, and a couple weeks it went by, and now I'm really bad again. We'll just leave it at that, doing all the pharmaceuticals there are, drinking every eye-open moment of the day, and I just want a check because he owes me money for doing work. I said, leave the check with the superintendent. He said, no, I got to put my eyes on. I'm like, oh, God. So I go to see him, and it's, you know, 90 degrees out, and I got a flannel shirt on like I got on now. And it wasn't very comfortable. And he looked at me. He says, you took a drink. He said, are you drinking? I said, yeah. He said, oh, God. He said, look, do this. This is what I want you to do. I said, okay, I'm listening. He said, I want you to go get drunk as you can, shoot all the dope you can, smoke all the crack you can. And he says, and if you make it back, he says, and when you go to jail, if you make it back, he says, I want you to pray for me. I'm like, pray for you? What the hell are you talking about? I'm the guy all screwed up here. He said, pray that my ass is here when you get back, if you make it back. I'm like, wow, man, what a selfish bastard. Yeah. And then I made it back. And I get what he meant, you know. I get right here my real purpose. You know, he was trying to tell me that before I knew anything about it, you know, because that was his real purpose. And once I stay around, I get to know this. And this is a good page. I used to read it all the time. This used to be part of my morning prayers, and I don't know what happened. It kind of changed a little, but I need to probably put it back in there. You know, no way. And then I had to go back to where I was. Once he told me to read that, he said, now come on back to the page. Because I could read through the book, but I had to read the book through with him and take the steps with him as we went along, you know. And it was the best sedative in the first year that I ever had, because I could sleep after I read a couple pages very well. And he told me that, you know, sponsors know this stuff. But the amends process, I had to get here, just like Brenda was saying. Each step I became no more willing. You know, a little more willing. As time goes on, I become more willing. And it talks about the ego deflation, and we mentioned that before we started. And I had quite an ego when I got here. And each step deflated. Took me a little notch down, a little notch down. Now I can come right back up, a little notch down, a little notch down. When I don't want to go into a detox, when I don't want to go into the jail because it's a big inconvenience, this is a great thing to remember, you know. I'd be fit for maximum service to those about me. Doesn't mean AA people. Doesn't mean, you know, it could be my mom on a certain day. It could be my brother who's in prison. You know, it could mean anybody. It could be you walking down the street, a stranger bumming $5. You know, it's not for me. And this is something I didn't know. It's not for me to know what he does with the $5. You know? And then it tells me right here, too, not to approach somebody on spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me approaching you was kind of spiritual. Because I wouldn't do that. And my sponsor told me when I asked him, I said, what's the deal? I don't know. I didn't know nothing. I still don't know a lot and don't want to know much. But he says, I said, what's the difference between spirituality and religion? I don't get it. He says, just different. Do something different, man. That's all you got to do. Anything other than what you want to do is spiritual. I didn't mean that to be funny, but...
All right. We'll continue on page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
I have to share with y'all something that happened as a result of this step. Because growing up, it was an ugly childhood. And my parents weren't the greatest in the world. So in talking with my sponsor, because I've removed myself from them, didn't call them, didn't contact them for many years... And in working this program, I felt like I needed to do something because my role in all that was that I blocked them out. I shut them off. And that's not the way a good daughter should be. I couldn't worry about what they had done. For me to be okay, I had to find a way to make some sort of amends. Well, my parents are not the kind of people that want to talk about things. Why are you bringing that up now? So I knew I couldn't discuss anything with them. So what I did was a silent amends through demonstration. And by that, I started calling them every day. They live in Farmville, Virginia. Longwood University, calling every day, going to visit them every other month for a weekend, and just those little things, and saying the words, I love you. This is this program. I never brought up the past because it's not up to me to do that. I just tried to be, like it tells us, a daughter among daughters. My father has skin cancer, and it has turned really ugly. He is now in hospice. And I went to see him, and he just kept looking at me with tears. This is a God thing. It's because of this program and this step. I just looked at him. I said, Daddy, it's okay. And the tears kept coming, and I said, it's okay. And he said, are you thinking about what I'm thinking about? I didn't know if I was or not, but I said, yes. And he held out his arms, and he said, I'm so sorry. Now, it took 45 years for that to happen, and 5 years in this program to work me in to help that happening. But it was because I was willing to forgive and let the past go. Because, again, I can't live this program and do the things that my higher power wants me to do if I've got this big wall up. Regardless of what they did, I have to do the next right thing. It's only because of these steps, not the ones that Brenda made up and said, okay, y'all don't exist anymore. You know, that whole thing of self-will run riot, I was a mess. I looked that up and my picture's on the page. My whole life was run that way. If you didn't do what I thought was right, regardless of whether you were right or wrong, I cut you off. So when it will serve any good purpose, willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. And basically, I try to do it with tact. And the God thing, I would always say, it's God's will. My mother is like, y'all would love my mother. She's got dementia, and half the time she doesn't know who she is or me either. And I used to, this is the kind of daughter I was. I'd be on the phone and she'd say something completely off the wall, roll my eyes and, you know, just ugly. She didn't know it, but I knew it. I knew it. And I don't think, you know, if my higher power was sitting in the room with me, I don't think he'd be patting me on the shoulder saying, you go, girl. You know, that's not who I want to be. So I've learned to be patient and tolerant and accepting because of the steps. Because I looked at step 8 and then wanted to get to step 9 to do that amends. And again, a silent amends. Some of you may be in the same situation and you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But it's working, and I get to be of service to my parents now. They need me. They need to know they're loved. And I need to know that they know that. Makes me feel good. Anyway, thanks.
I did my fourth step, and I was sharing it with my sponsor. And, of course, everybody done me wrong. I didn't like nobody. And I said, I'm not making amends to him, her, I wasn't going to do it. Not going to do it, because in my head I could justify every reason that I was where I was. You know, this is why I did that. And I was good at that, you know. And then I heard Brenda say earlier, it's that I'd always look for something. Even if something wasn't there, my head's spinning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my head's spinning. I'm going to find a reason why I had to do what I did. I got pretty good at that. Every time I was sitting in the bullpen and I had to go in front of a judge, I would spin around until it sounded very good to me. Never once did I convince him of anything, but it but it sounded very good in my head. And I was like, damn, you don't believe me. You know, I put a lot of thought process into that one. And I'd go back. And as soon as the judge would say, just get out of my court with me, I'd say, okay. I'd go back and it'd start all over again, nonstop. That's what I did all the time. So when I take an inventory and I look at that, self is self-centeredness, self-seeking, and I'm like, oh, my God, dishonest, oh, my God. And I had to be very honest. You know, I was getting a little honest about it. I guess I did my fifth step. I was probably 6-7 months sober. And I was getting more honest than I was at 2 days. But was I completely honest? Of course not. You know, I don't know many people who are, but that's me. Maybe you do. But my sponsor told me, he says, as long as you stay around, the more honest you're going to get, you know. And when I really looked back, I had to go back on the same inventory. I didn't have to do another inventory. I got the one I did. This is the one. And I had to get more honest with that inventory and say, you know what, I see this now. But I had to stay around a little while. I had to hang out with you. You know, with people in Alcoholics Anonymous, with people in recovery. I had to not only hang out in meetings, I had to hang out with you outside the meetings. You know, I had to do this, do that, watch what you did. Make sure you weren't trying to get over on me, and I was getting ready to, you know, do something that I'm really going to regret. You know, I was checking you out. Thank God you guys meant what you said. You did what you said. You know, I started doing what you did. You know, I heard the phrase, the thing, fake it till you make it. And that's what I did for a very long time. But I did that. And I don't want anybody to do it. I had to do that. You know, that's just the disease that I know I have now, or whatever, the spiritual malady I know I suffer from. Because I can take over anytime. Anytime. And if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because until I become willing. You know, that's the key for me. And I got an inventory before I come willing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how the 10 steps laid out. I had to do all this stuff to get to that one to do all this stuff again. You know, that's just how it works. It's mm-hmm. a nonstop process. If I want to, you know, live a happy, decent life, you know. Not have that ball in my chest and in my stomach. I don't have that most of the time. I still get it every once in a while. But when it comes, I know what to do, man. I've done something wrong. You know, even though you pissed me off, somewhere in there, I had something to do with that. And I got to quit thinking everybody's at fault. I had to stop that. You know, I had to do a lot of praying, you know. I had to convert back to step 6 and 7 and ask God to help me. You know, I really, really... If you're there, because I'm still doubting, you know, the year, 2 years sober, I'm still doubting. Still doubting, you know. But if I get down and I really, really can stop this head for 2 seconds and get in, please, it seems to work. You know, and I don't know about anybody else, but my head just talks to me all the time. You know, freaking thing wakes me up in the middle of the night. Something wrong. There ain't nothing wrong. But in my head, something's wrong. What's up? 2 a.m, I'm looking around, what's up? You know, all I got is 2 dogs looking back at me. What's up with you? You know, that's just this. It's just these are processes, you know. I had some bad amends. I mean, not really bad, but people done bad things. You know, there's a lot of fighting and, you know, stuff happened. And the way do I approach that? Me, I call them. They don't want to see me. That's cool, but I did my part. You know, I tried. I tried. I said, look, man, this is just part. He says, I heard you're doing good. I'm thinking of one guy specific. He said, I heard you're doing good. Let's just leave it at that. I said, not a problem. I never talked to him since. I got no problem with that. I did my part. You know, I don't want to exaggerate. I don't want to try to explain. I just want to say, I'm sorry. What can I do to help you? What can I do to make this right? Because this is this damn program I'm in. And my life just seems to get better if I do this. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I don't want to. I fight, man. I fight everything. But when I do it, I get great results. You know, I wish I didn't fight so much. But it works. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
All right. And we're going to continue on page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
Oh, well, there are different kinds of amends to make. Direct amends, eyeball to eyeball, which is the preferred way, because then I can look at you and see if you're hearing what I'm saying. And then another way that I recently took with my stepdaughter, who lives in Ohio. She and her father and I were married for 27 years. And so I watched her grow up. And when the divorce took place, I just sort of did what I do. She doesn't exist anymore. And that young lady never did anything to me. The fact that she didn't contact me is not any of my business. That's not me. And that part of us looking at our role and not criticizing the other person, that's not what we're about. It's what did I do? And I wrote her a letter with the help of my sponsor, telling her, because I'm a selfish, self-centered alcoholic. I have been that way since the day I was born and can still be that selfish, self-centered person. I've still got all those character defects. The program has helped me learn how to hone them and keep them in check. But I wrote to her and told her I was wrong, and I hoped that someday she would forgive me. And I loved her. Brenda, I mailed it. I've not heard a word. And you know what? That's okay, because I know I've done my part. You know, I can't expect her to say, "Oh, Brenda, I'm so happy to hear from you," you know, which is what I really want, you know, because I'm great. You know how we are. "Oh, yeah, I did a good thing. I'm so happy you know." Again, that's part of the ego. And I heard you say, I've never lost mine. I have to really, you know, get that thing down some, because I have an ego. And I want to look good in all circumstances, in all situations. And that would have been, you know, the fairy tale ending. It didn't happen that way. And it's okay. And the reason I know that is because of this program. I've cleaned my side of the street. And when and if I ever get to see her again, I don't have any reason to hang my head or be ashamed or feel guilty. That's the neat part. And the bottom line in all this is, if I don't get this stuff cleaned out and cleaned up, it might take a few years, but I am going to pick up a drink again. That's the reason I have to do what's suggested. And like Scott said, I have dragged and kicked, and I don't like doing stuff. I am lazy at my core. I'm a procrastinator. My fourth step, it took forever until my sponsor called me and said, "We're doing this on such and such a date. Show up." I didn't have a choice. That's the only way I get anything done. Thank God for effective sponsorship, because I'm lazy and I don't like looking at myself and telling the truth about the things I did. And I can't expect to be patted on the back for doing what I should have lived, living the life that I should have been living all along. You know, congratulations, you made it, Brenda. You know, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because of this program, because the only solution I had was to drink. So I have to do these steps. And wow. It's a good feeling when you get things done. And the other part of that is that we're never finished. And with that, I'll pass.
I could agree with this. 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happened. That was my experience. Probably most of my life, actually, but making amends, you know, because I just, you know, me, as an alcoholic, I see it in guys are sponsoring. I don't know what the characteristics are, but I believe we're very negative, and we think the worst is going to happen constantly. Mm-hmm. And that's where I go to every single time, half empty. Man, it's not going to be good. It just ain't no way this is going to be good. I can see Tony right now. Just go do it and shut the hell up. All right. And I'd go do it, and I call him back. He said, "What happened?" I said, "You're not going to believe it." He says, "You don't believe it. I believe it." And that's the thing, man. I mean, things just, my head always is putting everything down, even me, puts me down constantly. You know, that self-esteem that I suffer from, low self-esteem, you know, that I found out I had when I got sober. I didn't know I had it because I was drunk all the time. But when I got sober, man, I'm scared of everything. But it always changes. You know, everything changes. Everything changes. Every time I still make amends when it comes to me, when it happens, when God presents it to me, I have to do it. Because I'm still willing to go to any links over alcohol. I don't want to drink no more. My phone's ringing. But I don't want to drink. You know, I do not want that life. I do not want that life back. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get up in the morning craving, knowing, not craving, craving and knowing, I got to get two beers in me, man. Quick. Because this is going to come. You know, then how am I going to hold a syringe? That's the question. These were really defined questions I had when I was using. I don't want that back. I don't, you know. And, you know, I get the sponsor guys today who ask me about this. When they're going through, I'm like, just do it, man. You know? It's not going to turn out the way you think it is. It never does. You know? My way of thinking is what got me here. That makes sense when I'm doing this. So why do I want to keep thinking my way? You know, I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I want to be free of this stuff. I want to be fit for service, maximum service to God knows about me. That's got to play into my thinking at all times. When it doesn't, I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. That's just how it works. You know, and I don't get that. At 1, 2, 4, 5 years sober. You know, I hate to say that. That's my experience. I hope there's quicker learners in here than me. But it took a while. I hung out, you know. And I was doing a lot of stuff that I really didn't want to do, and I still do, you know. And I can just say one thing. I can't remember where I heard it from, but I heard the best thing about service work, but being of service, you know. If it's not inconvenience to you, it's not service work. So if I'm doing something that's of convenience, I better change it. You know, that's the way I look at it. I better do something inconvenient. I don't want to do a lot. I didn't want to come here tonight. I don't like speaking. I don't like it, but I do these things. You know, I don't really, really, really don't want to fix these amends. I just want to say I'm sorry. Isn't that good enough? Look at the look on my face. Isn't that good enough? I'm freaking pitiful. Now I gotta do something. But that's where I get the feeling. That's where I get released. You know, I get a feeling of freedom. I get a feeling of release when I take the action and I do something. It happens every time. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm gonna go ahead and read the last two, so y'all can read the last two paragraphs. Page 78 and 79. Page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And on page 79, although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
I was one of those yet people. As far as owing money, I was always able to pay my bills. And I did, even in my worst. Pride. It had nothing to do with doing the right thing. It was pride. I didn't want anybody to say, look at her credit. But I was at the point where alcohol became more important than anything else. So again, I was one of those yet people. It hadn't happened yet. So I can't share experience, strength, and hope on that. What I can tell you with money, I was famous for the credit card and then getting a new one and transferring it and then getting a new one and transferring. That's how I manage money. In my mind, I was being really smart, you know. So, because, you know, when you first do it, there's no interest for a year. So you just keep doing it and running the credit card up. I like the last part that I have to remind myself even today on a daily basis that when I came in here, I said I was willing to go to any lengths, and again, willing to go. In the eighth step, I'm willing to make amends to those people wherever possible. And I listened to Joe and Charlie, and Joe says if alcoholics heard the word whenever, we'd never do it. So wherever possible. And I had to be willing to go to any length, and that includes every single one of these steps. It includes getting my butt to a meeting when it's not convenient. Doesn't make any difference. I'm here to get the most out of this program that I can get. And why would I be in a 12-step program if I'm not going to work the steps? And they're all suggestions. You know, nobody tells me that I have to do anything. It is suggested. And like my sponsor says, like when you jump out of an airplane, it is suggested that you pull the cord on the parachute. So I'm like Scott, I never, ever want to go back to that life I was in. I was drinking every single day at home. You'd find me on the sofa in the morning, because it was 5 o'clock somewhere, and toward the end, it didn't matter. I didn't care if it was 5 o'clock anywhere. I drank all day. Pass out, come to, drink again. I never, ever want to go back to that. I did not participate in anybody's life but mine. It was disgusting. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life, and it's given me a life. I'm very involved in service work. No matter what personal consequences may be, I'm going to try to always make right the wrongs that I've done. It's not always possible, but I'm willing. The names are on the list. And I've still got more to go, but I'm willing wherever possible. And with that, thank you all so much.
Yeah, I owed a lot of money out when I got here. And I wasn't going to pay it back. Just ain't going to happen. They don't know where I'm at, and I'm not going to tell them. I remember saying that in a many strange camel meeting, and they all just started laughing. I said, you don't even know who I'm talking about. They said, the IRS. I said, how y'all know that? Yeah. And I got a sponsor, I got a business sponsor, and I got a service sponsor. I'm a very sponsored person. And I didn't ask but one. But people volunteered things, and I seemed to listen. That makes sense. One was get an accountant. One guy turned me over to his accountant. He's still my accountant. I got an accountant. How does that happen? I got out of jail. I got out of jail in 06, man. I had a bag of dirty clothes. And I'm not saying this to impress anybody. My life has really changed since 06. I got a little more in a bag of dirty clothes now. I had a credit score of 400. I said, at least it ain't 3. It's the only positive thing I had in my life. And then, you know, today I got a mortgage. You know, I'm a small business owner, and I only say that because my sponsor tells me I got to let people know I'm a product of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't even know it. You know, my first sponsor said, you work on your sobriety, your whole life's going to fall together. That's my experience. 10 years sober, I still work on my sobriety. You know, I'm not going to stop, I hope. Because then I'm scared it's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. I've been used to that my whole life. It falls together. I paid the IRS back. I owed them quite a sum of money, you know. Good alcoholics like me find non-taxpaying jobs that will give you a check. Not thinking that they're going to 1099 me at the end of the year, because I don't check the mail anyway. But I owed them a lot of money, you know. But what I did, he said, at least call them, Scott. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, this is a lot of money, you know. It was a lot. And what they did is they made a deal with me. You know, the government dealt with, well, we got you now, so here, you're either going to take it or you're not. So I'm going to take it because I got to, you know, I don't want to drink. So they set up a payment plan, and I was paying and paying and paying. Every month I was paying. Like a year went by, and I owed them more money than I did before. I said, this ain't working out too good. What happened was, I don't know how it happens. It just happens is my little business I was working for myself started taking, they've watched this, and it started taking off. And all of a sudden the money got more, and I didn't want to pay them. Of course, I want to keep my money. It's mine. But I couldn't buy nothing, you know. All of a sudden, I said, man, maybe one day I want a house. The guys were asking, why don't you get a house, man? Ain't you tired of that trailer? I said, not really. It's pretty customized inside. But they said, what about a house, Scott? And I said, oh, well, maybe. And I started paying more. I got the government paid off. You know, I got them paid off. I started to get looking to a house, and, you know, I had to do some other stuff, pay off some other debts that I said, they don't know where I'm at either. But I paid everything back is what I'm getting at. And I did it not being willing. But a little, you know, it says just a little bit of willingness, man, can change your life. Mm-hmm. And that's my experience, just a little bit, because I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to be happy like you said you were, and I didn't believe you. You know, I didn't believe you guys. But when the walls come down, every step I took was a little bit down, a little bit down, a little bit down. And then my sponsor used to tell me, when it comes full circle, Scott, you sit down for another man, and he does what you did, and you watch his life change the way I watched yours, that's when you're going to know it works. You know what? That's my experience. Alcoholics Anonymous works. You know, and I don't know how. I don't know why, you know, because in my head it shouldn't, but it does, and I'm so grateful for that, man. And this is it, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, and in the doctor's opinion, it says alcoholics of my type can only recover if having a spiritual experience. They got me in. You know, everywhere in there they get me when I try to get out of it. You're not going to recover if you don't have a spiritual experience. So you got to pay the money back, Scott. That's what I heard. I don't know what you hear. So I did that. So far, I'm still living this experience. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Thank you. Can we thank Scott and Brenda?
Thank you. Yay. You're the best.
All right. We will now pass the seventh tradition basket.
Oh, no.
Which states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local offices, district, area, and general service office will remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Yeah, I got one. I'm Scott, alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
My first home group, Principal, is having its 8th anniversary January 24th. I meant to bring a flyer, but I didn't. But it is on our website. We have a speaker, Joe. I don't know his last initial. Joe from Oklahoma. He's about 44 years sober. And I was at a retreat with him. And he's quite a quite a speaker. He's got a hell of a story, and he knows that book really good and the history of it. So that's the 24th of January, Eaton at 6, speaker at 7. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Leanne.
Leanne.
Thanks.
Did someone else have their hand up over here?
I was going to say that.
Okay. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Could home group members raise their hands? Newcomer. Is there anyone here tonight in their his or her first 30 days of sobriety? If so, could you please give us your first name? This is not to embarrass you, just so we can greet you. No? I don't want. Are you sure? Okay. All right. We do have a literature table over here. The pamphlets are free, and the books have a small charge on them. I think they're priced on the inside dust jacket. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Would anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, I will be up here after the meeting. If you have any questions, I'll answer them. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside, and please stay well away from the front doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, which is simpleactions.net. Can we thank the panel one more time? And after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at the Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. And could I have someone please read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Okay, I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
Okay.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And we'll now close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Why don't you just call?